over the next 21 days, beginning tomorrow, I want us to focus on prayer as a church, as individuals, as families. It doesn't mean I want you to stop praying after 21 days, but it does certainly mean I would love every person that's a part of our congregation to be focused on praying specifically for your life, for your family, for our nation, for our church, just for God's wisdom. Over the last couple of days, I'll just go back to, we purchased a house. We were, getting ready to close it. I promised some of the kids that once we closed on the house, we'd have some cash that we could purchase some furniture pieces for their room. A couple of our kids were sleeping on a mattress, but on the floor for 5 months, and a couple others were living without kind of a closet situation. So I did the insanity thing. We took our family down the day after Christmas to IKEA. Has anybody ever had that experience? That place is massive, and actually I kind of liked it. I'm not a big shopper, but that was kind of a cool place. And halfway through you could stop and have the Swedish meatballs, so that's kind of cool, or vegetable balls, or whatever you prefer. So we went through there and got those things and got it home. So excited to get this stuff home. We got like 47 boxes to put together. That's not the exciting part, of course. So I pull this stuff out. Has anybody ever had the experience of putting together an IKEA thing? Like you bought, yeah. I suppose in their instructions they don't put words because it's sold to people of so many different languages. They have pictures of everything. But when you have all these pieces everywhere, not everything matches up to the picture. And so I'm a guy who likes to just take it out of the box, put it together, and if I have extra pieces left over, I go back and read the instructions. I just try to do it right first. Well, I haven't been able to do that, and I'm still working through some of the pieces, and I think there are some pieces missing on a few. You find that. But here's the deal. When I'm learning, I am so dependent on the instructions from IKEA, looking at every detail, because without words, they just have like a board, and you have to count how many holes are in that board to see if it lines up with the other five boards that I've got next to me, and if it's not exactly right, then that's not the right board. I have to be so focused on the details in order to accomplish the right goal of putting this thing together. And I was thinking yesterday evening, I was with my daughter down in her room and putting together this wardrobe piece, and I'm just thinking, my goodness, that has to be how we as believers must be with the Bible. So many of us know we have the instructions, but we just like to put our lives together and then wonder why there are pieces left over or we're missing some pieces and we're just it's kind of a mess. And we have to go back and not just kind of scan over the details. We have to look at every detail to find out, how is it I'm supposed to be putting my life together? God is putting it together, but he says we have responsibility of put off the old man and put on the new. And how is it that we walk in step with the Spirit? And I don't believe we focus enough on the details of what he's already instructed. And we get the results we get. And we're dissatisfied. Perhaps in 2018, out of the thousands of things you may have on your to-do list or resolutions or whatever you want to call them, perhaps you ought to just pause long enough to read the instructions and pray and seek his wisdom through how he wants you to apply it. What's it going to look like in your life when you take his word, take it at his word, and apply that? And that's kind of where I thought we'd slow down for at least 21 days to focus on prayer, fasting for some of you. If you understand how to do that, we've got some instructions on the website if you want to look at that. But perhaps take a day or two or a season of fasting and praying and scripture reading and really just meditate upon his word. He will guide you. Too many times our prayer life is just about offering God our grocery list of needs. Oh, pray for so-and-so in the hospital and pray for my situation at work or pray for this relationship. And maybe you ought to turn this around, and I'm going to focus more on this next week. How do we turn our prayers around to be worship-focused first, where the needs become so minimal and we know that he's already taken care of them? where he becomes the focus of our prayer rather than the request being the focus of our prayer. So we'll look at that next week. But there are some ways you can participate in the 21 days of prayer. I'll stick up these things. I think I sent this to you through email, but just as a reminder today for you. Certainly you can attend the worship services December 31st through January 21st, starting tomorrow on 21 days. Attend a time of prayer, January 7th, next Sunday, as we gather for worship, after worship on Sunday, and it's a combined worship service. We'll have our Hispanic folks in here as well. We will then break for lunch downstairs, and if you can stay a little later, we're going to then have a time of prayer, just specifically just in some groups and thinking about what God may show us for 2018, praying for our church and our purposes. So attend that time. The lunch doesn't cost you anything, and certainly a time of prayer would be good for you to connect with God and others. Use the 21-day prayer guide if you so choose. You'll see this out in the lobby today. It looks just like this. It has 21 days of readings and devotional thoughts and some scripture. You'll be working through Psalm 119. If you use this, you don't have to use this, but it's certainly a good guide and a tool. Also in the beginning, it lists, you know, how you can, you know, you're going to pray for our church leadership and elected officials and others that you can have some time of focus. So that's available to you. You could host or attend a 21-day prayer group, what I'm calling a 21-day prayer group. Now, if you're already plugged into a small group, a Sunday morning group, a Sunday night group, whatever day of the week it is, or the Wednesday night prayer time, if you're already doing that, just use the guide or use some time in that group to pray specifically, not just for the request that you have, but pray for God's glory to be shown, for his wisdom to be revealed to us as a church and as individuals and families. Use that. If you're not a part of a small group now, create one for 21 days. What I'm asking every group to do, just even if it's you and some neighbors, you and some coworkers, you know, everybody needs prayer. And so gather with some people and just have a time, you know, one time a week for 3 weeks, you know, within those 21 days. You're having three different prayer meetings and just praying for each other, encouraging one another, maybe reading a little scripture and just seeking God's will and wisdom. So host or attend one. And if we hear of those who are willing to host and others that are willing to attend a certain night, we'll try to connect you. But it doesn't have to necessarily come through the church office. You guys can just begin to invite others to your home and pray together. What I am calling the day 22 action. Well, what do you do after 22 or 21 days? Well, begin to host or attend a community group, some kind of growth group on a Sunday morning or during the week. We certainly have a need for more groups to be started, so people can attend and be a part of a group that's always going to be encouraging, studying the scriptures, and praying together. If you're not a part of one, I'm praying that some new groups will be birthed after this time of prayer together. So going from the 21st onward, we'll have some new groups. And then one of my personal requests is that you would join a prayer dream team. Now, dream team typically, like in the Olympics, it means they get the best of the best to represent. No, I'm looking for anybody who loves God, who just wants to dream bigger and trust God for great things and to pray together with me before the worship service. I'm going to just stand down here about 10:25. We'll spend about 10 minutes before the service starts, and I'm asking people to just come alongside me, pray for me, pray for our worship, pray for those in leadership, pray for people who are attending, pray for lost people to get saved. And so there was already some gentlemen who've been praying for me fairly consistently on a Sunday morning, but I just wanted to open up a larger invitation for those who want to be a part of praying for the service before it takes place. We have a lot of chit-chat that goes on. That's all great, but I need to pull away from the chit-chat and focus on God before the worship service. And if you'd like to join me in that, I would certainly welcome that. One of the things else that we're going to start providing more clearly is this little brochure. Now, if you've been in a Sunday school group or small group, or I know you as an elders, you get a prayer list. It's this long 8.5 by 11 sheet. Well, we've reformatted that, and we're going to make those available on Sunday morning, more available out in the lobby, where it has the day's date. It's going to give you some upcoming events that are taking place that you can be praying for. Remind you of the church leadership. In here, I've got, in here, it promotes the Wednesday night prayer meeting. It has the health issues, the work, related issues, hospitals, shut-ins, those we have sympathy for, additional prayers that we're requesting as elders for the church to pray about. It'll have birthdays in here, anniversaries. Also has our 2018 World Impact Focus Ministries in here. So that's constantly reminding us who we could be praying for in that. And then on the back, I've got the local hospitals listed, because sometimes it's like, oh, so-and-so's in the hospital. Where is that? And you'll begin to look. Some of the main hospitals that we typically are going to. And then I put all the elected officials, because I think we ought to be constantly praying for our elected officials, whether you like them or not. God says pray for those in authority. We've got the United States, from the president all down to our local representatives in this district, the church's district, the 6th and 7th district. The Supreme Court justices, do you even know them by name? How you should be praying for them. The state of Georgia House of Representative and Senate Representative, the local government. Do you know who the mayor of Dunwoody is? You may not live in Dunwoody, but we ought to be praying for the mayor and the city council of Dunwoody, because they really can impact how we interact in our area as a church. And I think we ought to constantly pray for our military, our police, our fire rescue. And appreciate them. So those tools are going to be made available for you so that you can have more interactive prayer time and knowing what to pray for. Today I want us to start this way. We'll put the title up, slide up, and I'm going to just say, be still. There are a lot of places in Scripture that talks about praying, and I'm going to look at those over the next several weeks. But today I wanted us to learn to be still. One of the most well-known verses about prayer in the Psalms is to be still and know that I am God. How important is that? 2017 been busy for you? More things have taken place than you anticipated. You had some excitements and celebrations. You had some disappointments and struggles. Some of you are carrying this year's challenges and baggage into next year. And with all the rushing around, I think God needs to remind us often to be still and know that He is God. I think it changes our perspective. It changes the stress level that we find ourselves in sometimes when we're still and know that He is God. There are things outside of your control. You can't make things happen. Even when you put all your best efforts into it, you think, well, if I just do this, this, and this, everything will work out. And you've got your plan in mind, and then God says, yes, but I have my ways. And just be still and know that He is God. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 46. We're going to look at the entirety of the psalm. Because I think this is a great verse for us. Not just say, oh yeah, we need to pray more. Oh yeah, we need to, you know, have some quiet time in the morning or in the evening or whatever works out for you. Yes, we need to read the Scriptures daily. Maybe read through the whole Bible this year, or read through the New Testament or the Old Testament, read through the Psalms, whatever it is for you. Yeah, there's those times, but it's not just a check-your-box type of situation, which sometimes becomes that. It's a habit, like we brush our teeth, but we don't think about it. We drive to work and we can't remember if we stopped at stop signs or not because our minds were so wandering somewhere else. It's one of these times you just pause and you're still and you know that He is God. Three things in this chapter we'll bring out. The psalm begins with this promise. God is our refuge and strength. Back to here. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. If I was taking notes, I'd write down this, that you need to be still and know God's presence. Be still and know God's presence, point number one. It says in this section, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way and the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. How would you fill in the blank here? Listen to these words again, and I'm going to pause. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though, and fill in the blank. I will not fear though my finances are a wreck. I will not fear though I have continual medical issues that they can't find solutions for, and the best medicine they've given me has only made me worse. I will not fear though there are some hindered relationships and I'm out of energy to even put any more investment in it. Be still and know God's presence. When you don't have all the answers and you've tried everything in your power to do something and to change people's wills and strategies and areas, and when you try to fix this and do that and stop things and it's just not working, can you say with all certainty and with heart and conviction, God is my refuge and my strength. He is my very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear, though all of this is taking place. What's the difference between today and tomorrow? Nothing. We flip the calendar, but there is no difference between today and tomorrow unless we determine to have a better and more accurate perspective on who God is and receive His presence in our lives. Some people say, oh yeah, I'm glad to get rid of 2017, go into 2018, it'll all be different. Well, why? How? It's just another day. Just because I took off my cow calendar from Chick-fil-A from 2017 and put on a new one, there's no big difference other than the cute pictures on there and one more free item this month. Nothing changes in my life unless I change my view of God. But that takes being still and knowing Him. Knowing His presence is very near. There are times that I just don't know what to do. And I seek wisdom from various people, and I'm just like, well, what's this supposed to do, and how's that supposed to work? And even as a pastor, you know, and this is kind of my role to know God and just to demonstrate Him before you, there are some times that I get not defeated, but very distracted from God's presence. When Peter was standing on the water with Jesus, it was all good as long as he was focused on Christ, but as soon as the winds and the waves became overwhelming to him, he lost his focus and he just got distracted, and it all began to crush down on him. I think one of Satan's greatest tools for us is not to defeat us, but just to distract us, to keep us busy, thinking we can just add on more and more and more and it'll all get better. If in 2018 you're thinking about adjusting some areas, don't add on more without taking off some that is unnecessary. You only have so much bandwidth in your life. You only have so many hours in your day. You can only have so many focuses. And rather than allowing God to be a focus in your wheelhouse of things, put God right in the center. And let God determine what goes as the spokes in your life. Be still and know God's presence and allow Him to determine what comes in and how you'll deal with that. I think sometimes we just add God as an agenda item versus the entire foundation of our entire lives. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Though the earth gives way, the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. In verse 4, it goes on to encourage us. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage and the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. This encourages us that this picture, this river that fills the city of God with joy and gladness, security and provision, assuring us that his presence will flood what I would say is the temple of our lives. Our hearts could be filled with him. His presence is all in us, surrounding us. And when we need it, even in the worst case scenario, he is our strength and gives joy even in the difficulties. It is his supernatural joy and gladness that transcends our circumstances. Would you agree? In the midst of the most tragic news, in the midst of most difficult challenges, in the midst of knowing that you can't do anything about anything, it is his supernatural joy that will transcend, raise us above the temporary challenges of this life. Be still and know God's presence. Here's the second thing as we move forward. You ought to be still and know God's sovereignty. It's one thing to know that God is present and he was here. Mentioned to someone in the hospital the other day, it's just the presence that this person has is helpful to the individual that they were standing next to. They felt paralyzed in the situation. I can't do anything for this individual. I said, that's right, you can't. You can pray. You can seek God's help and wisdom. You can ask the doctors various questions and see, you know, what kind of medical things could take place. But ultimately, this person has no control. But their presence is extremely helpful to the individual who was struggling there in the hospital bed. Presence is important. But God doesn't just give us his presence. We got to understand that he is sovereign in control and can do all things in the midst of our circumstances. I'm glad that God is here. And I'm even more glad that God can do something according to his will and his joy and his power. Whatever his will is, I can be satisfied in. Be still and know God's sovereignty. When things are going haywire in your life, or you just don't understand what's next, you don't know what to choose, this way or that way, just be still and know God's sovereignty. Look at the words here in verse 6 through 9. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts. That's total control. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord, or the God of Jacob, is our fortress. Come, behold, the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. There are two things you ought to recognize there. First off, that God is sovereign and has allowed some wars to begin and has allowed chariots to advance and has allowed bows to be shot with arrows to inflict. God is sovereign on the front end, but he's also sovereign on the back end. He could stop it at any point. He could remove your cancer like this. He could take away your shingles like this. He could just say, let it be gone. I'm removing every unhealthy molecule from your body, and I'm going to replace it with good. He could do that immediately if he chose. He is sovereign. He could stop every war and difficulty and challenge in relationships. He could stop every idiotic thing the Congress does. We don't always understand why and what is taking place, but we can know when we understand his presence and then we understand his sovereignty, we know who is in control. And we need not have to worry about it. God did not call us into the world to figure it all out. God calls us into the world to trust in him and to worship and extol his name. Be still and know God's sovereignty. God's not looking for those who are trying to impress him with what you can do. God's saying, would you just stop for a few moments and realize how great I am and worship me? He finds more joy in your worship than he does any of your sacrifices. Whether we understand the purpose behind every difficulty or not, some things are clear, some things are not, but God's power controls it all. I mean, he can melt the earth. Did you see that? Maybe you'd like a little of that melting right now because it's pretty cold. Which, by the way, a few years ago, weren't we being told that the whole world's going to like melt away because it's so bad and it would never be reversed? Whether they call it climate change or global warming or whatever you believe about all that, let me just tell you, God is in control of it all. And if God wants it to be the coldest in this area in 50 years, then it's God's choice. If God wants to melt our faces off our body, he could do it in a minute. It reminds me of a movie I saw one time, Melt His Face. People get all worried, oh, we've got to get the signs, we've got to tax the people to death to fix all this stuff. And let me just tell you, God is in control. We are not. Why don't we just trust in him? He can melt the earth. He knows what's best. Though I don't understand the purpose behind all the circumstances and troubles of our times, I know the one who does. He is good, and he knows best. I'll trust him with my whole heart in spite of my feeble understanding. I know that I am reassured when I read his word that he will take care of whatever his will is, and I can be satisfied. Be still and know God's sovereignty. Here's the third thing I want you to see. The most well-known verse in this chapter, in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Hebrew word for be still, I don't think we need a lot of explanation, but I just like looking at some of the Hebrew dictionaries that expand it out. It could be translated in different ways. It's Rapha. It means to relax, let it down, abandon, refrain, forsake, let go, stop, cease striving, or be quiet. Stop. Cease. Put it down. And know that God is the Lord. In a modern-day paraphrase, it says, step out of the traffic of life. Sign me up. Things get rushing. Rushing too fast. I don't know what to do, which lane to be in. Just step out of the traffic of life. And our tendency to worry or to manipulate or to seek control over circumstances of life, yet we really have little control. We must stop and recognize that he can do all things and he rightly will be exalted over his creation and by his creation. Be still and know that I am God. Controls all the things we read before. Because of his power and his presence and his sovereignty, we know that he will be exalted among our nation. He'll be exalted in all the earth. A passion for his supreme glory empowers us to experience an abiding peace and rest. With all the world going crazy, even according to this chapter, we can be at rest and peace. I want you to notice the one phrase that's repeated twice in Psalm 46, both in verse 7 and in verse 11. It says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." That constant reminder throughout this entire chapter, God hasn't gone anywhere. You might think God is absent in your situation, or he's not hearing your prayers, and he's not he's so busy, he doesn't have time for you. According to this, that's just not true. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Our God is the master over all created agencies and forces. He has created, he has sustained, he is sovereignly ruling over all creation, and he alone will receive the glory. In Psalm 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the remainder of that verse is something I want to impress upon you. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. If the storms of 2017 are going to be traveling with you across to midnight tonight and into the next year, where are you going to find the strength to endure them? Where are you going to run for your security? According to the Psalms, God is a strong tower. And the righteous, and I would say the righteous or the wise ones, run into his protection and are completely safe. If you've been running anywhere besides God alone, no wonder you're worn out and you're beaten up pretty bad. You might think, I can stand the storm a little longer. But why would you want to? You know, in the Old Testament, you remember when Moses came to rescue the Israelite people? And prior to Pharaoh allowing them to go, God had established, actually hardened his heart so they could go through 10 plagues. You remember this? The 10 plagues, and I've always wondered, God, why 10 plagues? Some say because there were 10 Egyptian gods that God was showing defeat of through it all. Well, I remember that the frog one always was fascinating to me. That Moses comes to him and says, you had frogs everywhere, and says, you know, I could remove the frogs. He'd already seen Moses, you know, bring the plagues and take away the plagues. And so he goes to Pharaoh, do you want me to remove the frogs? And Pharaoh says, yes, I want you to take away the frogs tomorrow. Why in the world would Pharaoh, who knows Moses by the power of God, could take away the frogs right now, wait until tomorrow? Why would he want one more night with the frogs? Would you? You got frogs everywhere. You can't lie down without sitting on 100 different frogs. And the guy who can take them all away has come to you and says, do you want me to take them away? Yes. And you determined just one more night with them. I just want one more night with them. Tomorrow you can take them all away. I don't want to run to the rescue now. I want to hold back. I'm thinking either he has some weird thing in his mind or he really doesn't know where to be rescued from. There are some of you who, when God says, I will take that away, I will bring you security and safety, and you're like, yes, Lord, you'll sit and say, yes, Lord, next week I'll just run to you about that. Yes, Lord, maybe just one more night. This sin and this tragedy or this distress or this relationship, I may not like it, and I know you can help, so I'll come to you later about it. You see the foolishness of Pharaoh? It's the same foolishness we have today. We get prideful and arrogant and think we can handle it all on our own. We'll just take care of it some other time. Listen, if you have the sin of procrastination, don't let it be in your relationship with the Lord. You're missing out in his presence and his sovereignty and just knowing the glory he should receive. Don't withhold your very life from the God who says, run to me. My name is a strong tower, and if you're righteous, if you're wise, you'll run to me and you will be safe. Don't delay. Spend time in that intimate prayer with him. The Lord is there for our rescue, and he gives comfort and confidence because he is with us. His presence cannot be lessened or loosened by the troubles that we are in. He is our refuge, and nothing the world promises is fully guaranteed, but what he says is always fully assured. His promises are forever. Boy, to spend the next 21 days carving out time that I just want to sit in his presence. I want to read his word. I want to not do it through the just rote or habit, but to really take in from him more of what he has. Asking for wisdom. Asking for peace. Asking for a higher perspective on the various circumstances of my life. This will be good for you, for your family, and for our church. It's time to be still and know. Because when we're stressed or distressed or lacking wisdom, we don't know. Maybe we don't know because we're going in different directions and not focused on the one who has your life in his hands. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are a God who, though you created the entire universe, you still passionately pursue us. And in your divine wisdom, you reveal not a list of to-dos, but a list of to-don'ts. You tell us to stop, to cease from striving, from trying to fix everything in our lives as if we had all control. Yes, we will be involved. There's certainly a lot of scriptures that says how we're going to be moving forward and doing things according to your will. But Father, that all begins at the foundation of being still and knowing you. Giving us your presence and an understanding of your power and sovereign control over all things, micro and macro. And the full perspective of knowing that you are the one who receives all the glory. That we have the privilege of being called ambassadors of Christ. We have the privilege of being called children of God. We have the privilege of being a part on the front row in the process of what you're doing in this world. But when it all comes out down to it, it's all about you and for you. And all the nations will extol your name. All the earth will praise your holy name because of what you have done in our lives and in our world. So, Father, rather than us running into 2018 to do all kinds of things for you, I pray that we would just be still, step out of the traffic of life, and just get to know you better. And from that, you will take us to places unknown for your glory and for our joy and satisfaction. We pray this in Jesus' name.